blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I am the host of this program. I am grateful that you have welcomed us into your homes and vehicles, but also your hearts. I'm joined by the corner contingent right across from me, manning the controls behind the boards, my man 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa is in studio and in the screening room. As usual, producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated, the real J-Mac. Never accept the synthetic when you can have the authentic. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. As the markets are responding to the announcement of President Trump's tariffs, which was expected. I don't think anyone is surprised by that. I've said that my stance here in terms of economic philosophy, I would be an advocate for fair trade. However, it's demonstrable that trade has been unfair for our nation for quite some time. So I am in the posture of let's wait and see. And one of the things that is simply true, and I believe you can even date this back to when Ronald Reagan instituted significant tax cuts, things got a bit more challenging before they got better. But they ultimately got better. So I, as I've said, I believe President Trump has earned the right for us to see. And so I am going to do just that. I'm going to see what happens with this. Now, I'm an equal opportunity truth teller, so I'm going to tell you what I honestly believe is happening and report on the things that are transpiring. But I will say that it is immoral that our servant leaders historically have allowed there to be an American rust belt. Why do we allow that to happen? Why do we allow that to happen? When you start digging into some things, like I didn't know, for example, that Israel imposed any tariffs on our goods. You know, we're kind of responsible for helping Israel with their defense over the years. You know, for quite some time, I would have thought they'd, they'd be, dapping you, maybe go back to like pounds in 1990, pound each other, be like, look, we let you sell your stuff over here, we're going to sell our stuff over there, we could. You know, I would have that was a surprise to me. And I try to be in the know on these things. And so my simple question is, why have we allowed an American Rust Belt to begin with? That's a problem. And my hope and my prayer is that this ultimately results in a blessing for America. And this is what people need to understand. A strong America is a blessing to the world. Do we understand that? Like, if America is enfeebled, the world is compromised. America first is better for the world. All right. Before I get to that, because as I say, and I mean this with every fiber of my being, though those things are extremely important, what goes on in your house is more important than what goes on in the White House. What goes on in your house is more important than what goes on in the White House. We have to understand that. We have to understand that. To the Word of God we go. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, a very familiar passage of scripture. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. I know I discuss this frequently. and I wasn't saying Israel has the most aberrant tariffs against us, but that was news to me. I didn't think that we had any with an ally like that, you know. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Verse 34, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Right there in verse 37, this is Jesus communicating. And he says that those who are to love him, that we are to love him with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with our minds. Christianity is an intelligent faith. When people suggest that faith is mutually exclusive from intelligence, it is an absurd assertion. Because our minds are meant to be and must be included in our commitment to love the Lord. This is why you have the instruction, the command to fathers, do not exasperate your children, rather rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've explained before, the Greek phrasing for nurture and admonition is the paideia and nouthesia of the Lord. The word paideia means the whole training of the mind and the morals, the whole training of the mind and the morals. Galatians 5, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Without self-control or self-governance, we would not have the capacity for self-government. All right? The Word of God in the book of Proverbs explains that the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see this consistently throughout the scripture. This is something we used to understand in our country. I was a part of a recording for an offering that's going to be made available in the not too distant future on our streaming service, AFA Stream. And Dr. Jameson Taylor, who's the Director of Government Affairs for AFA, was there, and he directed our attention to the Northwest Ordinance. The Northwest Ordinance was passed initially in 1787, later renewed in 1789. This is important because the U.S. Constitution, the Constitutional Convention, convened where our Constitution, the original Constitution, was drafted in 1787. It was ratified in 1788, but you have the same body that drafted our Constitution also passed the Northwest Ordinance. All right. Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance says this, quote, religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind. Goes on to say that the means of education, therefore, shall be forever encouraged. Religion, morality, and knowledge are necessary to the happiness of mankind and to good government. We have a society that has embraced a pursuit of knowledge while rejecting religion and morality. What I would submit to you is that, biblically speaking, that you cannot bifurcate them. You cannot bifurcate them. This is one of the major reasons when I point this out to people, that most of you listening to me, when I mention the name Sir Isaac Newton, most of us will immediately think about Newton's laws of physics, his scientific experimentation. But what we will not think about is this, that is a fact. And go and research this for yourself. Trust but confirm. Isaac Newton can rightly be described as a theologian who did science as a hobby. He wrote at least two, if not three times as much about the scripture as he did scientific experiment. Why does our population understand Sir Isaac Newton, the scientist? We know nothing about Sir Isaac Newton, the theologian. We know much about Sir Isaac Newton, the scientist. We know very little about the motivation for Sir Isaac Newton's scientific experimentation. Why? Because we have lived under a regime that has intentionally sought to strip knowledge from religion and morality. This is why, as I was saying to you yesterday, that we've had a nation that though in our the majority of our history, our nation has not been a debtor nation. But yet we were turned into a debtor nation because all policy prescriptions have a worldview foundation. There's a why that undergirds the what. And what has occurred largely in our society, we have drifted far afield from the what while still trying to navigate whys. You heard the expression, you know, switching around the proverbial deck chairs on the Titanic. Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind. George Washington said the same thing in his farewell address. Religion and morality are indispensable supports of our American constitutional republican government. John Adams said the exact same thing. When John Adams was addressing the Massachusetts militiamen, he was literally confronting the notions of avarice and selfishness and self-promotion and in a godless, hedonistic personal pursuit of self-aggrandizement and enrichment. And while addressing that, John Adams says, our nation, our Constitution, is only effective for a holy, religious, and moral people. But what has happened to us? I feel like the Apostle Paul, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? These are things we used to understand. In our conversations, I was saying this, and this should be common knowledge in our nation, but it's not. When you had the formalization of education, first of all, it was not primary. Primary education took place in the homes. When you had the first efforts to organize education in what became the United States of America during the colonial era, in 1636, Harvard University was founded. You want to know why it was founded? Harvard University was created for one purpose primarily: to train pastors for ministry. That was its purpose. In 1701, Yale University was founded because at as early as 1701, the founders of Yale University established it because it became an orthodox alternative to Harvard, which many perceived to have started theological drift. Of course, we don't talk about that today. Not many of us know that today. But why? Because we're attempting to strip or sever or bifurcate the pursuit of knowledge from religion and morality. And I'll just tell you plainly, biblically, you cannot do it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we endeavor to strip them, we're putting ourselves on a trajectory that will only end in destruction for us. For us. So what do we do in response? This is not something we should anticipate or expect others to pursue if we don't value it, if we don't understand this. Jesus himself said among what he described as the great commandments, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Mind cultivation is central to the life of the disciple. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. For far too long, we have ceded mind cultivation to those who rival the truth of God. We didn't get to where we are in America overnight. We have arrived where we are as a man travels, one step at a time. The order of the day for our nation is repentance. We must reverse course. You don't want to miss the remainder of this program, because we're going to wait until the thick of it. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I want to remind you, May 22nd through the 24th, we will be in Winston-Salem, North Carolina at the NCHE Thrive Homeschool Conference. I will be speaking at the conference. We'll be broadcasting live from the conference. If you are in the Winston-Salem area or willing to come to the area, it will be a great time, and you do not want to miss out on this conference. We are going to have an amazing time communicating the truths of God's Word, connecting the reality of God's Word to things that are happening currently, and encouraging those who gather to fight the good fight starting right in their home. So May 22nd through the 24th in Winston-Salem, North Carolina at the NCHE Thrive Conference. That is North Carolinians for Home Education. Simply go to nche.com to register. Now, I am delighted to have on the program with me a brother who I appreciate and respect, have admired his work from afar, and have gotten an opportunity to get to know him a little bit more. I'm talking about none other than HSLDA Senior Counsel, that is Homeschool Legal Defense Association Senior Counsel, Will Estrada. Will began his legal career working at HSLDA as a legal assistant. He then became an attorney after graduating from Oak Brook College of Law and Government Policy with his Juris Doctor. He then moved on to work, moving up in HSLDA, but also worked in President Trump's first administration in the Office of Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services from 2018 to 2021. Will, he and his wife, frankly, both are homeschool graduates and will return to his roots at HSLDA, where he now serves as senior legal counsel, and he's a direct contact attorney for HSLDA members in the states of California, Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, Wyoming, as well as Washington, D.C. Will, thank you for joining me here on the Hamilton Corner.
Abraham, it's great to be on. Thank you so much.
Oh, man, it is certainly my pleasure to have you on. So often on my program here, I encourage our audience to live locally. I say routinely, things that are happening in Washington, D.C. are very important. However, they are not more important than what goes on in our homes and in our neck of the woods. And so often we see tyrannical encroachments taking place at the state level. Just this week, I was talking about a bill from Colorado, you know, that not from D.C., it's coming at the state level. And there's also, I would call it a Leviathan arising from the muck in Illinois that threatens freedom and liberty and, frankly, the jurisdiction of parents to oversee the instruction of their children. What is going on? What does our audience need to know about what is happening in the Illinois legislature?
Abraham, earlier this spring, February 5th, actually, a terrible bill was introduced in the Illinois House of Representatives. It's called House Bill 2827, simply known as the Homeschool Act. In a nutshell, it would take Illinois, which is one of the best states to homeschool because of the landmark 1950 Illinois Supreme Court decision, People versus Levison, which established that homeschooling is legal under the private school laws. It would take Illinois, one of the best states to homeschool, and overnight make it the worst state to homeschool. It would be the first state to go backwards when it comes to homeschool freedom since the 80s and 90s when HSLDA was founded in 1983. when parents were still being arrested in different places in the country simply for the quote unquote crime of wanting to educate their children at home. It would give you criminal penalties, a Class C misdemeanor, if you forget or don't file the annual homeschool declaration form. It would require families to keep educational portfolios and then open them up to the school authorities if they wanted to see it at any time and for any reason. It would go after traditional brick and mortar private schools as well. It's hard to overstate just how bad HB 2827 would be for Illinois home educators.
Now, you mentioned that Illinois is a state that has enjoyed tremendous freedom on a homeschool front. I happen to be aware of there's a huge surge in the Chicago area for homeschooling and in favor of homeschooling. One of the most egregious notions of this bill that I have found is that it's not necessarily a response to people in the state of Illinois that are clamoring for this. What is the force behind this? Am I mistaken? Are the citizens in Illinois asking for this type of legislation?
Absolutely not, Abraham. And you're absolutely correct. This is coming from an out-of-state Massachusetts-based organization called the Coalition for Responsible Home Education. They are the ones who are behind HB 2827 in Illinois. They were behind a similarly bad bill in my home state in Virginia, SB 1031, which thankfully was defeated earlier this year on a bipartisan vote, actually. And they've been the sole organizations, not the teachers' unions. It's not, you know, kind of the traditional groups and people you would think who would be trying to roll back homeschool freedom. It's Coalition for Responsible Home Education, a group made up of former homeschool graduates who are now disgruntled with their homeschooling, who are trying to turn back the clock on homeschool freedom. This is a pro-government regulation, pro-authoritarian organization. They have links with Elizabeth Bartholet, who was at Harvard, who famously wrote that homeschooling should be banned and only allowed on a case-by-case basis if the government, quote-unquote, grants you the approval to do it. And so that is their philosophy, that homeschooling should be ended, that this experiment in liberty that our country has enjoyed and that millions of students are now benefiting from, including myself. I know you and your wife homeschool your kids, Abraham. My wife and I homeschool our kids. They would want to make that illegal, and they're trying to do that in Illinois.
Now, and you mentioned this already. It was egregious for me to learn in reading this bill and reading about the bill that not only is it hostile to homeschoolers, but it wants to include a criminal penalty for parents who, in their view, don't comply with these regulations. This is egregious in my estimation. These folks present themselves as if they are attempting to advocate for responsible homeschooling, but I see this as simply being anti-homeschooling. They want to eliminate it in total. Is that an overstatement on my part?
It's not, Abraham. And it's been really interesting. The supporters of the bill and the sponsor have been going around saying this is just a simple homeschool declaration form. That's all it is. And two of my friends, they're both Black homeschool moms in Chicago. One is Latasha Fields. One is Aziza Butler. They both actually debated Tara Costa Howard. Latasha was on TV with her. Aziza was on NPR in the Chicago affiliate. And both times when these fantastic homeschool moms brought up the criminal penalties, Tara Costa Howard, the sponsor of the bill, said, oh, no, that's misinformation. And when you look at the bill, it's on page 5 of the bill. What it says is that if you don't file this homeschool declaration form, then the family, it says, quote, the child shall be considered truant, and the homeschool administrator for the child shall be subject to the penalties set forth in Illinois' criminal truancy law. This is a Class C misdemeanor, criminal conviction, up to 30 days in jail, $500 fine. And as our listeners know, if a parent is thrown in jail and there's not someone else who can watch or supervise the children, those children could be placed in temporary foster care as well, simply for failing or forgetting to file a piece of paperwork. Now, Abraham, school districts lose paperwork all the time. Mm-hmm. I have been guilty many times of bills coming in the mail and I'm busy or my kids misplace it and I forget to look at it. You know, sometimes families go through tragedies of illness or loss of a loved one, like a grandparent or relative passing away. Are we going to truly criminalize parents just because they failed to file a piece of paperwork? It's been interesting. Today, there were about 300 homeschool parents who from Chicago who came out to a press conference in Daly Plaza. And a Democrat legislator, one of the Black Chicago legislators, he's self-described as a progressive liberal. He said, "I cannot support this bill." And he said, quote, "This bill is a pipeline to the criminal justice system for parents," end quote. So it's been heartening to see Republicans, Democrats, third party people coming out and standing against this bill and saying, we don't want Illinois to become the first state in the nation to put criminal penalties on a family simply because they forgot to file a piece of paperwork.
Well, praise God for that. That's wonderful here and wonderful to learn that is actually happening there on the ground, because I know you've been working on this. And this will dovetail into some questions I'll get to in a moment, lobbying against this particular legislation. So far, I guess this will be two questions. What is the status of the bill currently? And secondarily, what has been your read on the legislators there in terms of their favor or disfavor for the bill? That one representative you mentioned said they're opposed to it. What do you see happening there on the ground in the Illinois legislature?
Yeah, so the bill was introduced on February 5th. It had its first hearing in the House Education Committee on Wednesday, March 19th. And Abraham, it was pretty exciting. There were so many homeschoolers who came that the Illinois State Capitol in Springfield, you know, land of Lincoln, was shut down. The fire marshal shut down access to the Capitol. Now, we heard differing stories. One source told us that they shut down the Capitol if 5,000 people come in. One source told us they shut down the Capitol if 8,000 people come in. Regardless, there were about 500 homeschoolers who were not able to get in, and they just sat on the steps, they prayed, they watched the hearing on their iPhones. So there could have been as many as 8,500 homeschoolers there. The hearing room was filled up within 2 hours before the hearing started. That's how full it was. The hallways were full. These were loving, excited homeschoolers. They were not destroying things. They were not rioting. They were praying. They were talking with their legislators. I was one of the witnesses who testified against the bill. It was a marathon 3-hour hearing. And at the end of it, they voted 8-4. And one of the Democrat legislators said, "I'm not going to vote for the bill. I'm not going to vote against the bill. I am going to vote against the bill on the floor, but I'm just voting present right now." So it passed out of committee on March 19th on an 8-4 vote. And it's been kind of stalled on the Illinois House floor since then. Now, the sponsor, Representative Tara Costa Howard, is very aggressive. She is we've heard she's whip counting to try and get the votes for it. We're whip counting on the other side, and we're down to about 5 votes. So there's 5 where we're not exactly sure where they're going to come down. We've also heard they're going to try and do a floor amendment to address some of the concerns that have been raised. Then we've heard that maybe there won't be a floor amendment. So we are telling our homeschoolers and our allies in the private school, because the bill goes after private schools as well, and just kind of all freedom-loving Illinois people, call your legislators, visit them in their district offices. This coming week, Abraham, they're back on April 7th. This is probably going to be a make or break week in the Illinois House. And I expect the bill to come up for a vote. I don't know if it'll pass or not. We're already laying the groundwork on the Senate side. If the bill does pass out of the House, to stop it there. But we have our work cut out for us in Illinois to protect homeschool freedom.
Now, I know I understand what you're saying, and I know you do as well. But just for those who may not be aware of kind of the political nomenclature, what would be the motivation for a legislator? And I'm not asking you to necessarily divine their motivation, but generally speaking, in your experience, for a legislator to say, "Hey, I'm not going to vote against the bill. I'm not going to vote for the bill. I'm just going to vote present." What could be the reason for something like that?
Well, so this particular legislator, he's friends with Tara Costa Howard, who's the sponsor. But he also said in the hearing, "I have heard from so many people. I did not know there were that many homeschoolers in my district." Mm-hmm. And Abraham, to kind of put it in context, Illinois is kind of a weird system. They don't, many states, when you testify on a bill, everyone just shows up and they'll hear witness testimony for 2 or 3 minutes each until the bill is finished. Not in Illinois. They only picked 3 or 4 people to testify against the bill, 3 or 4 people to testify for, but they want Illinois residents to fill out witness slips against the bill. We had less than 18 hours because they did a substitute amendment, really made no changes to the bill, no substantive changes. But we had the text of the bill before that hearing on March 19th for about 18 hours. And Abraham, in those 18 hours, 51,000 Illinois homeschoolers filled out witness slips. It blew out every record. Wow. Before that, the highest record had been a vaccine registry bill a couple of years ago, which got about 35,000 witness slips. And the really kind of incredible thing, Abraham, is that happened all in the space of about 18 hours, and there were only 400 witness slips for the bill. Wow. And about half of those 400 witness slips for the bill were from Coalition for Responsible Home Education, the CRHE people who are behind the bill who oppose homeschool freedom, from out-of-state people who were filling out these witness slips. So that's a pretty powerful motivation for all of these legislators. On one hand, many of them are fairly liberal, and they usually will support Tara Costa Howard. She's in leadership, her positions. But on the other hand, they're saying, why are you going after the homeschoolers? Illinois public schools have some major problems. DCFS, the Illinois Child Protective Service Agency, has been called by investigative reporters an agency in crisis. And so why are we, instead of trying to reform those two government entities, why are we suddenly going after homeschooling?
Great question. That's a great question. And it's remarkable in the land of Lincoln, who, by the way, Abraham Lincoln was homeschooled. Not so ironically. You also mentioned that the bill targets private schools. How does the bill target private schools?
So there's three things the bill would do, HB 2827, for our friends in the traditional brick and mortar private school community. The first one is, in Illinois, private schools can register with the Illinois State Board of Education if they want. There are additional requirements that come along with that if they do. And so many of the Amish schools, there's actually a very large Amish community in Illinois. Most of those schools don't register. There are a lot of Jewish and Christian schools as well that choose not to register at the Illinois State Board of Education. So the first thing it does is it mandates that all traditional brick and mortar private schools register with the Illinois State Board of Education. Second thing HB 2827 does for traditional brick and mortar private schools is every person who's employed, including admin staffers and custodians, need to have a high school diploma. And the third thing, and I think most concerning, is it requires every private school to collect a database of every student and every parent of every student and turn that into the Illinois State Board of Education. And the interesting thing has been the Jewish schools, the Lutheran schools, the Catholic schools, the Illinois Catholic Conference, the traditional Protestant schools have all come out against the bill because they are saying, why are you trying to make us register and have a database and force us to come under the thumb of the Illinois public education system?
Man, so profound. I have a few more questions for you, Will, so if you can hang around with us. I want to continue the conversation. You are listening to the Hamilton Corner. My guest is Will Estrada, Senior Counsel for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, giving us firsthand testimony as to what's happening there, because right now, Illinois is ground zero for the freedom of parents to direct the pedagogical, the paideia, and the nuthasia of their children. It is imperative that we stop this nonsense there so it doesn't spread around our country.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney Empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I'm on with Senior Counsel for HSLDA, Will Estrada, and we're talking about this disastrous bill in Illinois, House Bill 2827, that seeks to, frankly, crush homeschooling in the state of Illinois, also seeks to hinder brick and mortar private schools in the state. And the organization behind it, CRHE, well, I did a little dive into this organization, and looking at the bios of all of the people there, it seems like these people not only have an animosity toward homeschooling, but really an animosity towards Christ. Frankly, when you see all of the, you know, the purple hair, the they them pronouns, the all of these things here describing people who are parents who want to direct the instruction of their children as you know, parental rights extremists. You know, it's like it's an absurd phenomenon. And I made the statement that we want to stop this type of insanity and lunacy here in Illinois so that it doesn't spread to other nations. Is that not a realistic concern in this, that should they gain traction here, this same insanity will be tried in other states?
Oh, it's absolutely the case, Abraham. We have never had a state go backwards when it comes to homeschool freedom. When HSLDA was founded in 1983, there were still parents being arrested for homeschooling. By the early 1990s, that was all over. And really, since then, we've seen homeschooling go from legal to accepted to mainstream. And so if we were to have a state, and I think the battle lines are drawn here in Illinois, if we were to have a state go backwards, CRHE would trumpet it. They would get more fundraising from the people who hate parental rights, who hate the concept of moms and dads and grandparents exercising their fundamental God-given right to pre-political right to be the ones to raise their children. And they would be bringing this to other states. Now, it might not be in quote unquote red states right off the bat, but we would start to see freedoms be rolled back, pendulums to swing back, as our president Jim Mason has said, if we can't stop this in Illinois.
You made an interesting point just now that the right for parents to direct their children's pedagogical development and, frankly, to disciple them is a pre-political right. I think that's a vital notion to understand. What do you mean when you say that it is a pre-political right?
So, Abraham, it means that it's not a right that's granted by the government. It's a right that was given to us by God. As our founders wrote in the Declaration, we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Aristotle wrote how the family came first, and then society and government comes beyond that. And it's so critical when you look at kind of this philosophical debate of to whom do children belong and who should be making decisions. If we grant that the state is the giver of our rights, then we lose all of our freedoms. But if we understand that they come from our Creator, and then everything else, the government comes after that, then you understand we've got to defend homeschool freedom and parental rights.
Man, you just hit on, I've long said, if I ever had the opportunity, which I probably won't, to moderate a presidential debate, that would be the very first question I would ask every candidate. From where do rights derive? That's the first question that I would ask. And that would tell me and tell the nation, frankly, a whole lot about the prospective candidate's view on rights vis-a-vis where they derive from genuinely, or where the synthetic notion that government is the end-all be-all of all things that are rights. And it's so interesting. You read the bill, read the legislation, the presumption there is that the state is altruistic, it's all loving, it's all compassionate, but parents are the ones we need to be leery of. When the truth is actually the opposite. Parents are more invested in protecting their children than anybody else, right?
You know, Abraham, there was this weird moment in the hearing on March 19th, the only moment when the sponsor, Tara Costa Howard, seemed happy. One of the legislators said, "Why are you making the homeschoolers file this form with the local public school? It's a burden on the public school." And she just leaned forward and she said, "I love our private schools. If families have to go to the local public school, they'll see how wonderful they are. They'll stop homeschooling." And all the parents in the hearing room were just looking at each other like, what planet is she from? They left the public schools for a reason. They've seen the local public schools. They don't want to have anything to do with it.
Man, that's wow. I can imagine that moment during the hearing. Now, you mentioned thousands of people who are at the Capitol. We don't know the specific numbers, but we do know 500 homeschool families couldn't get in because it was that filled. The number of slips submitted opposing this bill, upwards of 50,000. This was a real-time civics education for many of these families. You know, that we talk about civics in a classroom setting, they're getting to see this at work. When you see it, look at the sheer volume of constituents that were responding to oppose this bill versus the numbers of people in support of it, and the constituents are voters in these legislators' districts versus this out-of-state organization, this really will be a test case to determine whether or not these state legislators, in particular in Illinois, are responsive to their constituents, or do the proverbial special interest outweigh the position of the constituents. Is that an accurate depiction of the assessment of the legislative development of the bill?
It absolutely is. And Abraham, I just want to give the Illinois homeschoolers credit. The Illinois Christian Home Educators, ICHE, our allies in the private school community, they have come out. The 21st century homeschoolers, the spark of freedom still burns brightly with them. They have answered the call, and I pray that our legislators in Illinois listen to them.
Mm. As do I. Now, I know one of the things that HSLDA does is lobby in favor of schools that bolster homeschool freedom and to oppose bad bills like this. Would you just speak a little bit to HSLDA's efforts on the ground to do what you're doing there, testifying against the legislation, lobbying, rallying people, and communicating with legislatures concerning the real egregious nature of this bill?
Oh, absolutely. So when we were founded in 1983 by Mike Smith and Mike Farris and a few board members, homeschooling was illegal in many 50 states. And today, because of the work of our organization, of our board, Abraham, I know you serve on the board, and just our allies in the state and local groups and concerned parents, homeschooling is legal in all 50 states. And so it's in our DNA to fight for homeschool freedom in the media, in the courts, and in the legislatures. And you read about the states that I handle for HSLDA. We have numerous colleagues of mine, our other attorneys, who are constantly traveling to testify on bills to defend homeschool freedom in Washington, D.C., and then in the local municipal meetings. And, you know, notwithstanding the challenges that we have in Virginia, we talked about that bad bill, which was defeated. In Illinois, the work that we're doing, freedom is still on the march. I was proud to work in Wyoming. Wyoming just became the 12th state in the nation to eliminate all annual reporting for homeschoolers. So in Wyoming and 11 other states, you don't have to get a quote unquote permission slip from the government. So we are working, we're firing on all cylinders. This is legislative season when the state legislatures are in session. So it's extremely busy. We're doing lots of flying around the country or in racking up frequent flyer miles, but we will do whatever it takes to defend our HSLDA members and the cause of homeschool freedom in the media, in the courts, in the legislatures, in the halls of Congress, and wherever the battle to defend parental rights will take us.
That's so important. And I should have said, and I've said it before, but in full disclosure, I am on the board for HSLDA. So I'm not in any way trying to present myself as if I'm just a neutral arbiter. No, I am fully in favor of homeschooling, 100%, absolutely. What you just mentioned, and some people may not be aware of this, because this is one of the benefits that we enjoy as members of HSLDA. Long before I was ever on HSLDA's board, I became a lifetime member. And the primary reason, I mean, you know, I'm an attorney. I'm a litigator at heart. I like going to court. I like getting the jury in the box. So, to say it simply, I ain't scared of a fight at all. So if my family ever had problems, and my wife and I, Maria, we disciple our children at home, including the education, all six of our children, I was not afraid of my ability to defend my family if something legal arose that required that kind of defense. But I wanted to become a HSLDA member kind of to pay it forward. If there was somebody in another state that may not be as homeschool friendly as my state, or someone who isn't an attorney and they get one of these letters from a truancy department or a Department of Children's and Family Services, I wanted that family to have the confidence that they would have the legal representation that they would need so that they wouldn't allow that to be a barrier for them to do what God was calling them to do, to educate their families. And so we became lifetime members of HSLDA over a decade and a half ago, or over a decade ago, because of that reason. Would you just speak to some of the benefits of being an HSLDA member? Because if you are taking the leadership in educating your children at home, you should have the confidence and the peace to do so, that if something arises that requires legal attention, that there would be people who would be willing to stand and fight for you. Would you just speak to that for a moment, please, Will?
Well, absolutely, Abraham. So we are a 24/7 law firm to protect your family's right to homeschool. We handle numerous cases of social workers at the door, truancy officers at the door. We've talked a lot about Illinois, but there are some other states where it's fairly hostile to homeschooling. I handle Pennsylvania. That's one of the states I handle in addition to Illinois and other states. And in Pennsylvania, school district officials are extremely aggressive. They file truancy petitions against families if they don't send in immunization paperwork. And we have vigorously defended those families. None of them has lost their right to homeschool. None of them has been fined in Pennsylvania. We have come down, we've brought in our litigators, and we've threatened the districts. You withdraw this truancy summons, you're the one breaking the law if you don't back down on the family. And they have invariably done that. We've handled numerous cases of disgruntled neighbors hotlining a family for abuse when we've defended those families at the door. So for our members, we will take the case to the Supreme Court to defend homeschool freedom if necessary. We, of course, our work that we do to defend homeschool freedom in the media and legislature helps every homeschooler, whether you're mm-hmm. a member or not, mm-hmm. but to specifically represent them in court is a member benefit at HSLDA.
And is one that I wholeheartedly recommend for you to take advantage of. It is something that you can't place a premium on having that peace and that confidence. And a lot of us, it's so sad how the thing you mentioned, Jim Mason's reference to the pendulum swinging, though the founding era, everyone was educated at home. When you had the ascendancy, frankly, of the progressive movement, I call it regressive movement, others moving to try to standardize with compulsory attendance laws, who then were able to advocate successfully to criminalize and make homeschooling illegal. That led to the necessity of HSODA's founding in the 80s, as you've mentioned, and through literally state by state, almost in some instances, county by county fights have set the course for homeschooling to be legalized. But the necessity of remaining vigilant continues to this very day because organizations like, you don't have to say this, but I will, the Antichrist CRHE organization, who seek to try to encroach on those freedoms. And so to have families, to have that peace. And as you mentioned, the legislative efforts, the lobbying efforts, the securing the legal efforts at the legislature blesses and benefits all homeschool families. But to have that additional piece that if you have a rogue social worker to show up at your door, knocking on your door 24/7, you can contact the attorneys at HSLDA. And before you answer that phone call or return the call of that card left at your door, if that were to happen, God forbid it does. But if it does happen, you could have the peace of mind that I know I could pull this phone out and call a number and they will immediately respond to my concern no matter where I am in the country. Even there is an international arm of HSLDA that is available to you. Will, where should listeners and viewers go to learn more about HSLDA and the fight to secure homeschool freedom in this country and beyond?
So HSLDA.org, so as in Homeschool Legal Defense Association.org. So HSLDA.org is our webpage. We accept donations. We're a 501c3 organization. You can join. And then on all the social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, HSLDA.
Well, Will, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there anything that I've left out that you feel like it's vitally important to say about HSLDA or about this horrible legislation in Illinois?
Well, we stand committed with the homeschool families in Illinois and in all the states to continue to advance and defend homeschool freedom.
Thank you, brother. Will Estrada, ladies and gentlemen, senior counsel at HSLDA. I'm thankful that there's been such an amazing response on the ground to oppose this horrible legislation. It's vitally important that we don't tolerate these types of encroachments on our freedom. It's very similar to the insanity that's being presented in Colorado. We need to stop this madness in its tracks because what invariably occurs, guys, legislators, is almost like football teams. You know, one team wants a spread option. The next thing you know, every coach, every team in the league is going to run a spread option. And if you don't kill this stuff where it is now, then it will invariably spread. These people will get wings, will get momentum, and there needs to be a broad-based repudiation of legislation like this because we are still in the United States of America, the home of the free and the home of the brave. And we understand what it means to be a free people. And we as parents are not going to tolerate and sit idly by as people who have no direct investment in our children and our families will come in and tell us what's best for our children. No, we'll simply say respectfully but firmly, no, thank you. You can take yourself and your desire to use government as an instrument of dictatorial control, tyrannical control, and you can exit stage left. Exit stage left, because we won't tolerate that. These are our children. They belong to us. They do not belong to you. God has ordained for us to rear our children. And I refuse to co-parent with the government. Not interested. Not interested at any level. So thank you so much for Will coming on the show. Guys, remain vigilant. Thanks be to God for things that are happening at various governmental levels, things that are happening in Washington, D.C. But what goes on in your house is far more important than that. Not because those things are unimportant, but because you and I are directly responsible for what we have direct access to. You all have a great evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.